Now let's read together, please, tonight from the New Testament. I'd like you to open your Bible in the Gospel by Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel chapter 25. It's a long chapter of 46 verses, but we'll break in at the verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 31. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker, and the Saviour said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Amen. And God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts this evening. First of all, tonight I'd like to say a word of thanks to Reverend McCray for the kind words of welcome this evening. Always good to come back to Macrofelt and enjoy the blessing of the Lord. And if you're a visitor tonight and you didn't know the people in Macrofelt enjoy good singing, then you know it tonight. And it's been a joy to come along and to hear the choir sing. I remember about 20-odd years ago I came with the Reverend Fred Greenfield. It was a young people's meeting. And Mr. Greenfield was to speak. And Mr. McCray came into the meeting and he said, we're going to get Brother Fred to sing to us. And Brother Fred said, well, he said, you know, you want to hear them. And he said, well, he said, I'll sing if Mr. McCray sings. And he said, wouldn't you all like to hear the Reverend McCray singing? And this wee fell at the front, a farmer's son, I think. And he just shouted, no, not a bit. We're all sick listening to him. And he really let the cat out of the bag. But I'm sure he was only joking. And we look forward even to the Lord's servant singing tomorrow evening. But in the final moment, sir, tonight I want to draw your attention to what I feel is one of the most solemn verses in the whole of the Word of God. You'll find the words of the text that I want to leave with you tonight in the verse 41, words that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it says, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, as you read through the Word of God, these 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find again and again that the Word of God is a wonderful book of comfort, to comfort men and women in every hour of need. And I don't know how many times I've had to go to homes where there's been a tragic situation, and thank God, God's Word has always got the message that we need for comfort in every hour of need. And true it is to say tonight that God's Word is a rod and a staff that comforts men and women and can bind up hearts that are broken in every hour of need. But could I say tonight that if you have this a thought in your mind tonight, that the Bible is over only a book of comfort for people in times of sorrow and tragedy, then, my friend, you are greatly mistaken, because you'll find in the Word of God that we find not only the goodness but the severity of God brought before us in the Scriptures of truth. And you will find again and again that God in His love and His mercy and His desire to see men and women saved, God gives solemn words of warning even throughout His Word. You remember how that He said to the people in Noah's day, and how that My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Again, you'll find that He said through the lips of the prophets that as He sought to warn men and women to turn from their sin, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And you'll find again and again throughout the whole of the Word of God that God in His love and His mercy sounds a note of warning and warns men and women of their danger unless they would go on the broad road and they would find themselves in a lost eternity. But I believe it is true to say tonight that the words that I want to leave with you from this a wonderful parable of the sheep and the goats is perhaps the most solemn words that a sinner will ever hear. And I pray tonight, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart, that no man or woman or boy or girl will ever hear these words that were uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the words of the Savior when He said, to those who are numbered among the goats on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you'll keep in mind here that the Lord is dealing with the subject of the last judgment, the last great harvest when the souls of men and women of the nations will be gathered before Him. And then the Lord will pronounce His solemn judgment upon them for good or for evil, for all eternity. Now, as you look at these words, I want you to notice just three things about these words. I want you to see, first of all, the sovereign upon the throne. Notice here how the Word of God reminds us of the One who sits upon the throne. And it says in verse 41, then shall He say unto them on the left hand. And that introduces us here to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God says that the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And if you look there in verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And I want you to notice here the change in the whole situation. You see, when our Lord Jesus Christ stepped into this scene of time as the only begotten Son of the Father, the Word of God says that He made Himself of no reputation, that He humbled Himself. And when the Lord came into this world, in many ways His glory was concealed and veiled from human view. You remember when He came as a babe, even unto Bethlehem, and they had to say, where is He that is born King of the Jews? Can it really be true that the One who controls the stars, the One who is worshipped by the angels, could be born in such a despised place, a little place, in the place called Bethlehem, and born in a stable? Again, you remember John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ and had the privilege of baptizing the Master in the waters of the River Jordan. And you remember how he could say on one occasion, "Art thou he who should come, or do we seek another?" Is this really the Messiah, the Son of God, according to the Scriptures? And for that moment his faith seemed to waver. "Art thou he who should come, or do we seek another?" You see, the glory of Christ was veiled from human view. Again, you remember when our Lord was brought to Pilate's judgment hall, and as Pilate looked upon this man, despised and rejected of men, he looked into the face of Christ, and he asked the question, one king to another, and he asked, "Art thou the King of the Jews? Are you really a king? Are you the King of the Jews?" And even Pontius Pilate failed to recognize the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was John Wesley who put it so well when he said, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. And great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh." But oh, beloved, I want you to see from the Word of God that the whole situation now is completely transfixed or reversed. And the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer a stranger unrecognized, but he's the King upon the throne. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, according to God's precious word. You know, some years ago there was a young man. He was out in a little rowing boat. He was enjoying himself, and the boat drifted out. And he stood up in the boat foolishly, and as he tried to turn the boat, he lost his balance and he fell into the water and he couldn't swim. And he cried out and he shouted for help. And fortunately enough, there was a gentleman walking along the side of the shore, and he heard the cry for help. And he plunged into the waters and he swam to the place where the young man was drowning at the side of the boat. He pulled him out and he rescued him and he got him safely to the shore. The young man thanked the stranger. The stranger went on his way and left the young man. But time passed and the young man fell into a life of sin that brought him before the courts. And one day he was brought to stand before the judge. And as he was sitting there, he knew there was something familiar about the judge's face. And as the judge was about to pronounce sentence, he said, "Young man, have you anything to say for yourself before I pass sentence?" And the young man, as he had turned over the pages of memory, recalled that this is the man that saved my life. And hoping to find mercy and compassion with the judge, he said, "Your Honor," he said, "do you not remember I'm the young man that you saved from a watery grave? I'm that young man." And the judge looked at him and he focused his eyes upon the young man. And he said, "Yes, young man, I recall that occasion." But he said, "On that occasion I was your savior. But now I'm your judge and I'm here to pass sentence." And beloved, that illustrates what's going to happen. That the one with the nail-pierced hand, the one who was impaled to that middle cross of Calvary, will no longer be your Savior. The day of opportunity and of mercy and of God's salvation is gone eternally. And the Lord Jesus will stand there as the supreme judge of all the earth. And the Lord will pronounce the sentence upon your soul. Oh, I think that's what will make hell so awful for the sinner. That I could have trusted in the Lamb, but now he's the Lord. And I'm going to hear his words. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Oh, the sovereign upon the throne, then shall he say unto them. But then as I look into God's word, I not only see the sovereign upon the throne, but I learn here of the sinners before the throne. And you'll notice here from God's word that there's only two classes of people. And if you look there in verse 31, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations." Listen. "And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." And I want you to notice this: as far as the division of humanity is concerned on the judgment day, that there's only two classes. Nationalities and religions are all forgotten about. And there's only the goats, and there's only the sheep, as they stand before this judgment throne. Now, we have no difficulty at ascertaining from the Word of God who the goats are. The goats are those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, as you turn to God's Word, you'll discover, first of all, that the goats are those who have never been born again. You remember the Lord Jesus one day, he sat down with the ruler of the Jews, a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus began to talk to the Lord, and he says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Rubbish. Jesus Christ was not a teacher come from God. Jesus Christ was more than that. He was God come to teach. And the Lord Jesus, as the God-man, looked into the heart of this proud religious man, and he knew that he was numbered among the goats. And he says, "Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." And here's a man, and he discovers that in spite of all his religion, he hasn't had the new birth that fits him to enter in to heaven and the kingdom of God. And sad to say, our churches and our land is filled with people like this. I remember, I was just thinking about it. I went into hospital on one occasion to see an old man. He was almost about 90 years of age. And as I went in, I wasn't sure whether or not he was saved or not. He didn't actually belong to our church. And I went in and sat down beside him. And there in the locker was a beautiful basket of fruit. And I said to him, just for sake of conversation, I said, "That's a lovely basket of fruit you have." And boy, his chest perked up, and he says, "Yes," he said, "you know, the black sent me that." I said, "That's very kind of them." And he looked at me and he says, "You know, I'm in the Apprentice Boys, and I'm in the Orange Order, and I'm in the black." And I looked at him, and everybody's listening. And I said to him, "Sir, that's good, but tell me in Christ." That's the important thing, is to know Christ as your Savior. And I want to tell you, you can have all the sashes that the institutions can bestow upon you and go to hell at the end of the journey. Salvation is not found in an organization or a denomination or a church. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, the tragedy of being religious, but never born again. Again, as I look into God's Word, I discover that the goats are those who have experiences and perhaps charismatic experiences, but have never been born again. You know, there's some words in the Sermon of the Mount, chapter 7 and verse 21. And when I read these words, they really strike fear into my heart. And the Lord Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils?" Listen. "And in thy name done many wonderful works, miracles. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And the Lord makes it clear, you can have all these charismatic experiences and you can do wonderful works and cast out demons and miracles of healing, and yet go to hell at the end of it all. I remember witnessing to a lovely big gentleman one day in Lisburn. Turned out he was a police inspector and began to be talking about the Lord and the things of God. And he looked at me quite sincerely and he says, "You know, I'm what you call a Roman Catholic charismatic." I said to him, "Could you just tell me what that really is?" And he told me about going to a place outside Kilkeel, and he says, "We have wonderful experiences in the Holy Ghost." He says, "The power of God comes down, our bodies shake and we speak in tongues." And he says, "We have wonderful times in the presence of God." I looked at him and I said, "Tell me, sir, do you still pray to the Virgin Mary?" "Oh," he says, "I do." "Tell me, sir, do you still attend the Mass?" "I do." And I discovered that this poor, deluded soul who was depending on all and rejoicing in these charismatic experiences was numbered among the goats and knew nothing of the finished work of the one who died upon the cross at the place called Calvary. Listen, friend, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I wonder, are you numbered among the goats depending upon these experiences, and yet you lack that one thing like the rich young ruler? You don't have eternal life within your soul. Can you see it here? The sovereign upon the throne. Then we have the sinners before the throne, only in two groups. But thank God we have no difficulty in discovering who the sheep are. You see, the sheep are those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if you're numbered among the Lord's sheep, listen, you'll not want in life, and you'll not want in death, and you'll not want in eternity, because the Lord will meet and supply your every need. It's a wonderful thing to have that personal faith in the Lord, and to be able to say, "Yes, He's not just a shepherd, but He's my shepherd, and I have a shepherd, the good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep, and that's my only hope for eternity, that Jesus died for me." You know, C.H. Spurgeon, when he was dying and breathing his very last, all he could say was this: "Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me." Tell me, friend, is that your hope for eternity tonight? Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I rest my whole eternity. Tell me, friend, are you numbered among the sheep tonight? Do you know the shepherd? Are you trusting alone in Him? But you know, as I look at these words, the saddest words that a sinner will ever hear, I see not only the sovereign upon the throne and the sinners before the throne, but listen to the sentence from the throne. The sentence from the throne: "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, listen, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And just as there's a place prepared for the believer, for the Lord said, "I go to prepare a place for you," listen, there's a place prepared for every sinner who dies without Christ. I wonder tonight, is there a place prepared and reserved in hell for you? Now, you'll notice here that the Lord says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, we live in a so-called scientific age when men professing to be wise in reality are fools. And men will come to you with a scientific mind and they'll say, "You know, there's the laws of science and thermodynamics. And thermodynamics and science teaches us that matter must burn itself out. There's no such a thing as something that can burn on everlasting." And that blows evolution apart. This old world is burning itself out. It had a beginning, and material is not for everlasting. But then how does eternal punishment fit in? Well, you see, my friend, the God who in the beginning made these laws will suspend these laws. And just as the believer will have a body that will prepare him for heaven, the unsaved man will be a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction, and he'll have a body that will enable him to endure the flames of hell for all eternity. Do you remember you have an illustration of it in the burning bush? Moses turned aside to see this great sight. Why, the bush burned and was not consumed. The power of God was in the bush and sustained the bush in the fire. Three young men in the days of Daniel are cast into the fiery furnace. There's not even the smell of smoke upon them. Why? Because the power of God was in the furnace, and God sustained them in the flames. And the same divine, omnipotent power will either sustain you in heaven for all eternity, or will either sustain you in hell, will you be lost forever and forever. I never forget some years ago when I was in the WAC Missionary Training College, we were sent out on a mission to a little place called Kilwinning. And if you've travelled up through Scotland from the boat, you've probably passed it many a time. And we went to these folks in a little mission hall there. We had a very wonderful gospel campaign. One day, one of the workers came and he said, "Look, boys, on your free day, I'd like to take you to the steelworks where I work. I've never been there. It's very interesting." And we agreed to go, and he met with us, took us in his car, and we went to this great big steel factory just on the outskirts of Kilwinning. And I'll never forget, he took us up the steps of one of these furnaces, and we were handed this face mask, and with coloured glass, we were able to look into the furnace, and steel was just bubbling like water in the furnace. Tremendous sight to see. I was glad to get the mask off and to put it down and get down over the platform. And then this brother said something. He said, "You know, one day one of the workers here was on the platform, and whatever happened, he lost his balance. He tripped into the furnace. And he said the only thing they could do was tip the contents of the furnace out of the dump." And he said, "That's where he's buried. That's where he's buried." And I thought to myself, what an awful experience for any poor soul to have to go through, to fall into a furnace like that and to be extinguished in a moment of time. But you know, here it's everlasting punishment. It's not over in a moment of time. You see, God's word says, "And these shall go away to everlasting punishment." Everlasting punishment. And it'll be a place of torment and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for the countless ages of eternity. But you know, the glory of the gospel is this, that the one who spoke these words was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And when you look in the Old Testament, you'll find that all the lambs that were sacrificed upon the altar, and there were millions of them, they were all consumed in the fire. But God's Lamb at the cross, thank God, he consumed the fire. And he cried, "It is finished." And he finished the way and the work of salvation for you and for me. And that's why tonight the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Thank God he washed it white as snow. Oh, the saddest words a sinner will ever hear: "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Listen, turn ye, saith the Lord, for why
will you die. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He sent His lovely Son to be your Savior. I wonder, will you come tonight? Will you bow the knee in faith and repentance and say, Lord, just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And His unfailing promise is this, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come tonight and come and a thousand welcomes to Jesus. May the Lord write His word upon our hearts.